If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This has been, would you say a good or bad episode of the
Secure
Box podcast? I think this will, it'll be a remembered episode.
Yeah.
We'll say that. Like, I'll listen to this episode every 6 months to just remember the time.
No, he'll listen to it in 6 months when Arteta proves me wrong. That's what he'll do.
Yeah.
We here.
Yes, sir! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the 6 Yard Box Podcast. This is a very special edition of the episode because the 6 Yard Box Derby has just concluded. PSG, Arsenal. We also had Barca, Inter Milan. We know our Champions League final now, and we've enjoyed every minute of watching them, unless you are a certain man here on the couch. I am joined here by my PSG buddy, Antoine. How are you feeling, my friend?
I'm feeling amazing. I'm feeling so good. It's never been better.
Never been better. Also joined here by my Arsenal friend, Blake Talibas.
You know what? I came to this podcast super happy because the Leafs won. Yeah. I was feeling great. And then you guys put these stupid fucking suits on.
Yeah.
My voice is already going. You can tell from yesterday. I had so much happiness yesterday after the numbness that I felt after watching that Arsenal performance. After watching that Arsenal tie, and these two fuckers pull up in suits. You especially, shameless from you.
Why?
Fucking embarrassing from you.
Why?
Why the fuck are you wearing a suit? Just to wind me up?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. Embarrassing.
Okay. So why are we wearing suits perhaps today, Julian?
Oh, we are suited up for this Arsenal downfall. And it is all love, my friend.
It is all love.
It is all love. But
as a great manager once said, all eras must come to an end.
What era is coming to an end? What a downfall.
The era is not today.
Jesus Christ.
We're here today. It's a very special edition.
To commemorate. The Arsenal Football Club and their fantastic run in the Champions League.
It was a great run.
Of finishing trophy-less for the fifth year in a row.
That's a great point you make.
Yes. And we're going to get into all of it.
Fucking embarrassing.
We're going to get into all of it. We're going to start with the PSG-Arsenal tie. Then going to get into maybe the best Champions League semifinal of all time. Maybe the best Champions League tie of all time with Barca-Inter. We also have to give a quick shout-out before we get into the games. We have to give a quick shout-out to Naps.
Naps. Wow.
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 I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Genuinely.
And it's not like it was predictable. Well, for context, he predicted the two finalists when it was the round of 16.
And it's not like a started. It's not like a Real Madrid,
it's not
Liverpool
even like the favorite
kind of
teams.
Favorite. Yeah.
It's PSG and Inter.
Yeah.
I mean, of course they're playing beautiful football, but if you had predicted that, if you had told me that at the beginning of the season or even at the round of 16 stage, I would have laughed in your face.
Yeah.
And he predicted it very, very well.
He did.
Congrats to him.
Congratulations to Naps. Big shout out. We're going to get him in on an episode soon because we want him to talk about more of why Inter are so good and why they stand a really good chance to beat PSG in the final. We'll get into some quick predictions today, but I'm feeling pretty good about Inter's chances. But before we get onto them, let's talk about yesterday's tie where at the Parc des Princes.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
He looks at my computer goes, what is that? I just wrote some notes for the Barcelona-Inter game because I knew it would be like far in my memory.
Fair.
Yeah. Is there any problem with that?
There's no problem. I just feel like you're lying to me.
You want to read it?
Like you lied to me this
Barcelona versus Inter Milan.
It's fine.
That's a lot of notes.
It is a lot of notes.
Is that paragraph format?
No, it's point form.
Oh, okay.
It's point form.
It looks very long. That's not very optimal.
For no. Oh, okay. I'm not reading today.
All right. Yesterday, Wednesday night, PSG at home to Arsenal. And you know what, boys? Arsenal came ready to fucking play.
They did.
Declan Rice with a glancing header that I think he should get on target. Odegaard, who we've had our gripes with over the past couple of weeks, with a beautiful shot that Donnarumma does even better to save. They had many chances throughout the game, as did PSG with a couple of fluff breakaways. But eventually, as we're approaching halftime, it is the man, the myth.
the man we have hated. I have hated on the most in this podcast, I think.
Yes, the man whose kit will soon be behind you.
100%.
Fabian fucking Ruiz.
Thank you.
Beautiful goal. Beautiful goal.
Thank you.
Fendi. Chest on the left foot. Bang.
Yeah. Blake, you okay? Any comments on that?
It was a good goal.
It was a good goal.
It was deflected. It was a good goal.
It was a good goal. It was deflected, but I don't think that the deflection, the pureness of the strike.
Oh that my shit, god!
That is hitting the target.
It got deflected this minute it left his fucking foot, and you're about to say I don't think the deflection had anything.
Oh, you're gonna to do with you gonna take away from the way in which he strikes the ball?
I know, but it got deflected.
That is a pinpoint volley.
Glazing. Oh my god!
There's no stopping that.
It's a fantastic goal. It's a fantastic goal. There's nothing you can take away from it. Unless...
This is Blake's worst nightmare.
Just bring me back to Maple Leaf Square. I was so happy. I was so happy. Even this morning, I was happy. Mm. Keep going, I guess. Then second half.
We
had a terrible second half. I want to say something. We had a terrible second half. I thought there was just no... We looked scared. Mm. I think that... We came out to play, and we had the right mindset, but the second half, we looked scared, and we looked a little tired, mm-hmm. and I think that our mentality definitely weakened, and I think that our midfield battle was not as strong as it was. That midfield was ran over by PSG's midfield like it was in the first game. In the second half, that same thing happened. Partey was terrible. Mm-hmm. It was just not a good second half.
And Saka first half was pretty good.
Yeah, the first 20 minutes.
First 15.
Yeah. Sure.
15.
Midfield dominated the first 20 minutes, our midfield, the way it should have done. And then it just slipped away.
Yep. You came ready to play. You came ready to play.
We had no clinical presence up top.
This game, this tie was always going to be about who could finish their chances. And on a reel, this tie could have gone either way. This was not a tie where you come out thinking there was a deserved winner or thinking that one team, you know.
PSG deserved to win.
Thank you.
I think they did as well. I don't think they had to play a spectacular game to qualify. I don't think a lot of people were expecting PSG to come out firing off all cylinders in the second leg and playing the football that they've been playing against Liverpool notably or against Aston Villa in the first leg. Yeah. I don't think they needed to do that at all.
But
to play spectacular football to win, and they showed that yesterday.
The exact same chances could have happened at the exact same moment in the tie. And if, you know, you finished one less and they finished one more, then we're not saying that PSG deserves to win.
But that's
like,
not how
it works. Literally just who I think you deserve to win because you finished your chances. That's always what the tie was going to come down to. Overall, momentum of the game was never in one's hands for big periods of the tie. Arsenal finished with this tie with more XG. Like five versus three. So like, they created more chances, but you just finished them more. What it was going to come down to.
And we had a rock.
Yes.
In Donnarumma at the back.
Yes, you did.
I'm doing this every episode.
Mm.
Donnarumma, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The things that I have said, you have proved me wrong in every aspect of your game, whether it be shot stopping, which was really good, but there was sometimes that flappy hand, whether it's building up from the back. Your long passes. You're solid. Mm-hmm. Every part of your game this year after that Liverpool first leg. It's incredible. I will never say one thing wrong about you ever again.
You are not in the Champions League final if it's not for Gigi Donnarumma.
We're not. He has been our best player and our most decisive player in the knockout stages.
100%.
He 100% has. If he's not there... We are eliminated.
Yes. And he's probably going to win the Yashin Trophy now.
Yashin Trophy. I think he can also win the best player of the tournament in the Champions League.
Yes.
I seriously think he can.
He could. Yeah. I think he's gone under the radar the past couple of years, not only because of his mistakes, but we kind of forget that he is only 26 years old now. And like just a couple of years ago, he was the player of the tournament at the Euros. He's a fantastic player and could go for another, 10 plus years at the top level. He's going to be...
Hates Saka, apparently.
He does.
He's there to eliminate Bukayo Saka at every pivotal stage of his career. But hey...
He is now the player. He's now the goalkeeper that we thought he would be after winning that Euros tournament.
Yes.
He is now the goalkeeper that people were claiming to be as good as Buffon or could potentially one day be as good as Buffon. Now we can actually see the comparisons kind of coming to fruition. Not saying he's better than Buffon.
You know what
because,
it is?
Because
you
he's
know
not.
What it is?
What?
It's the Scarface.
Scarface
Donnarumma.
Turned into prime Harry Potter, bro.
He could go back into his former, into his like old self next season, but we'll always remember Scarface Donnarumma, 100%. Bro. Oh my
God. Once he gets the scar, just like Harry Potter, he turns into...
Exactly.
He turns into a different version of himself.
Exactly.
Why have I ever hated this man? How could I have... Well, I mean, I could have. There's a reason.
There was a reason.
But oh my God, was I so wrong. And thank you to Luis Enrique, too, for testing him. Because I remember in the beginning of the season, when he isn't putting in these performances week in, week out like he is today, he brings on Safonov, pivoted controversially in the Bayern game in the Champions League. Brings on Safonov and benches Donnarumma, which is you need to have balls to do that as a manager. And I think that's a pivotal moment in his season for Donnarumma, because now... he's like, oh shit, I might actually get booted to second goalkeeper on this team. There might actually be a better goalkeeper than me in this squad. And ever since that moment, he has completely turned his season around. His second half of the season is incredible, unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. There's another factor as well, is that the club kind of froze the talks in his contract extension for a good bit of time. I think it was in December where they were supposed to be held, the talks for his contract extension, and the talks were frozen. The club didn't really want to negotiate with him because of the poor performances that he was putting out. Now, we can all say that he deserves to sign that contract extension. He deserves to play as the main goalkeeper for this team. He seriously does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I bet you were shitting your fucking pants when he saved that shot from Odegaard, went down with an injury, and you saw Safonov warming
100%.
up.
100%.
He was never hurt. He just wanted to take Sting out of the game. It was a smart play.
Smart play. Never
hurt. I was still
smart
nervous.
I wouldn't be surprised if he hurt his hand
That's
there.
That's fair.
Yeah. I think that might have been the best save I've seen.
Like, ever.
I can't think of many more.
What?
I can't think of many more.
The summer one. What?
Well, the summer one's incredible. Do you not realize how hard it is to pull off that save? Seriously.
I think that was better than the song.
Are you, like, first of all, you don't see the ball the whole way through. You're blocked by a defender. The ball is coming in at 100 kilometers an hour, probably more. You are 6'8". The ability to get down that quick, we've talked about it before, the ability to get down that quick for a goalkeeper that tall, it's incredible. And the way that he pushes it out for a corner, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah.
You can't say anything about that save. It's
really
perfect.
Can't.
Maybe I'm getting a little too ahead of myself.
No, I see it. 100%.
It's the best save I've seen, but it is seriously up there.
Yeah.
It is seriously up there.
I think that summer save is getting a little overrated too.
Which one?
How? It's amazing.
The finish is terrible.
Which one? The
you
also Eric Garcia.
Also say that
it's Donald an incredible save. It's
right,
on target. That's
right
all you need.
Beside. It's not. You didn't have to reach that.
No, Odegaard's shot was. It was a great finish.
Odegaard's
right
shot is he slots it perfectly.
He slots it perfectly. Gets fantastic connection.
It was not right in the corner. It was a little bit. Could have been more corner.
I mean, come on.
It could have been posted, sure.
Save.
But
whatever.
I think
sure, great save,
I think the summer save is more of a bad effort. You have the entire goal and he hits it towards summer.
Sure.
I know those saves are always fantastic when he's coming in on his weak side and he, you know, makes the save without even looking, but the Donnarumma save on Odegaard is absolutely clear, I'm afraid.
Okay.
But,
it is. Do you not agree?
No, but it doesn't really matter.
Really?
Interesting. That just doesn't matter. We still lost. So it doesn't really matter.
I
can't believe you're wearing a fucking suit. Like, what is your problem? Where do you get off? Like, you're so annoying, bro. So fucking annoying. And you say you don't hate Arsenal. You hate Arsenal so much.
You hate United.
Yeah, I don't fucking lie about it.
You can have this suit. If we lose to Tottenham
in
the Europa League final.
If you somehow lose today, you're never fucking hearing the end of it from me.
Oh, yeah.
You deserve that shit.
I know.
This is fucking embarrassing.
I know. That's fandom.
It's fucking embarrassing.
You're allowed to make fun of us. I give you full reign.
We're also allowed to make fun of you.
Absolutely. I want to say one thing, that I'm proud of this team. No, no matter what, I actually am. And you're laughing because why? Because first of all, you don't understand what it's like to be a good team right now. Second of all... This Arsenal team has given me something I've never seen before. They have showed me an experience. They have opened my eyes to an experience that I've never witnessed as a fan before. A Champions League semifinal, being one win away from a final.
and you're looking at there with your stupid fucking smug on your face. Why, I don't know. Because never once did Arsene Wenger in his latter years give me that. Never once did Unai Emery give me that. Never once did whatever interim manager we had before then. But Mikel Arteta, despite everything that's gone against him this season, despite all of the injuries, despite people wanting him out after this performance, what he has given Arsenal fans is a Champions League semifinal performance, one that we can look at and say, you know what? If we played a little bit better, we finished our chances, we could be in the final. It wasn't like we got outran. Wasn't like we were absolutely out of this tie ever. We were in it for a good portion of the 180 minutes. He's given me that experience that I will never forget. People who want him out are fucking stupid. People who don't believe in him should hop off the Arsenal wagon, because you're not the fans that Arteta's doing this for. Because what he has done to rebuild this team to get us to a spot where we can be one fucking win away from a Champions League final is fucking amazing. I will always have faith in him. Maybe not always. You brought that up. Yeah. I will have faith in him for the foreseeable future. That's all I want to say about this team, because I love them. It hurts. I'm heartbroken. But it's about PSG and their good performance. That's just my piece that I wanted to say.
Well, we're going to get into a very serviceable Arsenal talk.
Let's go back to PSG after.
Don't you worry.
Yeah.
No, let's get into PSG now.
Now?
We'll go back.
We'll go back. Sure. I thought he was in the heat of the moment.
You know what? I'll take off my suit eventually, and we'll get into like the academic talk about Arsenal, whatever. But you know, let's just get this energy out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You
know? Let's do it.
Man, let's go around and give flowers to every single player.
First of all, I just want to say I've never felt happier supporting PSG. Ever.
Absolutely.
Ever. And we've reached a Champions League final before, but it wasn't in a way that was as dominant as this. We weren't playing as much coherent football as we are now.
It wasn't even two legs.
Mm-hmm. I've never witnessed this team overcome a semifinal that was two legs up until yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling is fucking incredible. It is incredible. I've seriously never been as happy.
Did any part of you think you'd be here in like October?
No, not at all. Not one part of me. If you had told me in October after the disastrous start to the Champions League season,
I completely forgot you were like out of the playoffs.
We were out of promotion, of qualifying up until our win against Manchester City. When we're 2-0 down against Manchester City in the 45th minute at halftime, if we lose that game, we're eliminated. There's no playoff. There's no round of 16. There's no quarterfinal. We're eliminated at that time. But it's the drive in these players to overcome that, score four past them in the second half, beat Stuttgart, smash Stuttgart 3-0, who are a decent team, team this season. And then off the back of that, smash 10 goals past Brest, beat Liverpool after dominating them in the first leg and the second leg over the two legs. We were the most dominant team. Against Aston Villa, you were pressured, you almost cracked, but you didn't crack. And you go through to the semifinal. Same thing against Arsenal. You were succumbed to pressure, you didn't crack, you didn't budge. That's the difference from this year's PSG team, is that we managed our difficult periods in the game extremely well. We haven't seen that before. Every year, When the tide was shifting in the games, we completely crumbled. We shat our pants every single year. Yes. I think of Marquinhos. I think of Donnarumma. I think of Fabian Ruiz last year against Dortmund. This year, it's different. This year, in our difficult periods in the game, we were talking about Arsenal having most of the ball in the first 20 minutes and decent opportunities. We didn't budge. We didn't shit our pants. We didn't seem like we were drowning. And that's the difference this year, is that we are actually a team that can sustain these long amounts of pressure from other teams and overcome them. And still on the back of that, go and score a goal. That Kvyat Kvaratskhelia post is the turning point of the game, because at that point, that's when the Arsenal players tell themselves, oh, fuck, maybe if they score one goal, I think we're eliminated.
Yeah.
That post from Kvyat Kvaratskhelia, it kind of ignites a spark in the PSG team again start pushing again.
Yeah.
And ultimately, a couple minutes later, you score the goal.
Yeah.
Who scored? I can't even.
Fabian Ruiz.
Oh, bro.
Right, that goal.
It's a beautiful shot. You can't take anything away from. I'm begging it now.
You are begging it. and it goes to show the two Champions League finalists that we have are the deserved finalists, I think, this year.
Agreed.
They are absolutely deserved finalists because not only have they imposed their game on other teams, but unlike Barcelona and unlike Arsenal, I was mentioning this literally 2 minutes ago, they manage their difficult periods in the games so well. So well. It's not about dominating an entire performance. It's about when you are kind of under pressure in the game, you don't budge. You don't concede and you don't let the other teams take advantage of you. The defensive performance of PSG yesterday and the defensive performance of Inter, even though they conceded three goals.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like an Inter kind of performance.
But it doesn't matter because in the difficult times, they're there. They're always solid. They don't budge. So that's why we have the two best finalists this season.
Yeah. We absolutely agree with that point. Inter we do also, have the best two finalists.
Inter also went up and against the best attack in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, so exactly.
Crazy it's, to
they, exactly. Go,
yeah. They went up against a team that this season always scores one more than you.
Yeah.
No matter how many goals they concede, and no matter how kamikaze their back line might be, the high line, how dangerous it might be, they always manage to score one more goal than you. And Inter didn't let that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's get some more love.
Let's go to the individual players now.
The midfield three, once again.
Oh, my God.
Just
spectacular. What more can you say?
It's Barca's midfield.
What more can you say?
And then it's you guys.
I think it's us first. I think PSG have the best midfield in the world. And I'm not sure there's even that close of a debate.
Pedri, Frankie, and I guess
the double the Barcelona's double pivot is great. Pedri, Frankie, amazing. On Tuesday, I saw Dani Olmo kind of drowning in that team.
Yeah, Olmo. I mean, sometimes it's Fermin, sometimes it's Gavi. They kind of rotate that third piece.
The intelligence that all three PSG midfielders have is mind blowing, and you pair that with their technical ability. It's a recipe for disaster for other teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've seen, apart from the 21st minutes in the Arsenal game, I don't think I've seen a team dominate PSG in the midfield in the second half of the season. I seriously haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't. They're incredible. Every single piece. I can go on for years and years and years. I can do an hour, if you guys want, of me praising Fabian Ruiz, of me praising João Neves, of me praising Vitinha. I don't think that we should stay here for an hour, but they seriously deserve that much praise.
Definitely.
How good is João Neves?
How good is
João Neves?
My Benfiquista.
And what strikes me about his game is not even when he's on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You okay, Blake?
Yeah, I'm fine.
That Benfiquista really hurt him. That really hurt you.
What strikes me in his game is not even when he's on the ball. He's great when he's on the ball. There's nothing to complain about. But off the ball, he is so... I was talking about this last week. He's like a pit bull. He's like a mosquito in the summer. He must be so fucking annoying to play against.
Yeah.
Every time that he decides that he wants to win the ball back, he seriously does. You would think this guy is 6'3", the way he puts in challenges, the way he tackles players off the ball, the way he... can jump. There's pictures in yesterday's game where he jumps higher than Mikel Merino.
Yes.
His drive and ambition to win the ball back and drive the team up and initiate the press whenever he wants to, it is simply incredible.
It's unreal.
There's a statistic that's out now. He has completed 57 tackles this season in the entire Champions League campaign. The most out of any midfielder since 2007 when Gennaro Gattuso had 59. Do you know how insane that is? You know how mind-blowing that is?
56 now? I saw that stat at halftime.
At halftime, it was 55. He has 57 now.
Wow.
And now he needs two more to tie Gennaro Gattuso since 2007 as the midfielder with the most tackles in a Champions League campaign.
That's insane.
And all this at 20 years old.
We have to
bring up... And it's his first season.
We have to bring up your logic here, Antoine. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. We have more games.
More games, of course. More games. And especially since PSG played the...
And the playoffs as well. Yeah. So four more games.
Sure, obviously. But it's still an incredible achievement.
You can't
take that away from
you. You did it before.
I did.
You know.
And it's fair. It is fair.
Yes.
But to be in that on that level with fucking Gattuso at this age.
Yes.
I mean, what is going on? This team has seriously reached a dimension that I never thought it could reach this early.
Oh my God! I know.
Ever. I didn't think Vitinha had his best game, but I didn't think he needed to have a spectacular game today. More like the other teams as well, or the other players as well. They didn't have to have a spectacular game to win. Vitinha.
We must talk about the pen.
The pen.
I think the worst penalty I've ever seen.
It's the same. He always shoots pens in that way. It's the kind of the Neymar approach of shooting pens, of taking pens. I've never really, really been a big fan of it because I think that if a keeper stands tall, and which what Raya did, They save it very easily. It's what Messi did against Lloris in the World Cup final. It was very, very close to saving it, Lloris was. And I've never been a fan of it. He's always been our pen taker this season. This game kind of proved why I don't think he should continue taking that style of pen. But it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, does it? Because we win the game.
Yeah. And the commentators were glazing right in that moment. Is this a turning point? Is this a catalyst for an Arsenal comeback? And then 5 minutes later, Hakimi's got in the back of the net. He's like, shut up.
But it could have been. It could have been a turning point in that game for sure.
Bro, I get it. It could have been. But they were saying, like, they look nervous, PSG.
This motherfucker was talking about if Arsenal scored one more goal, then it could have been a different game. But when something actually does happen that was a turning point, he gets mad at it.
That could have been a turning point.
Yeah.
That could have been a turning point.
Been a turning point that actually did happen in the game.
Yeah.
He like denies it.
Yeah, but
doesn't really fucking make sense.
A turning point is you guys scoring. it was the same thing with Bakayo's penalty at Real Madrid, and Courtois saved it. Is this a turning point for Real Madrid?
But I think a turning point is not necessarily someone scoring. I think a turning point is an action in the game that
is momentum. But what does that
drives the players to, like the Kvaratskhelia post? But I think that's
really
a turning point.
But what really that fair. Fair, but just the pressure in that moment was not a 2-goal deficit. It was just Arsenal just on top of you guys for 15 minutes while still trailing.
Yeah, the context, if you look at the context of the game, it wasn't, nothing really suggested.
Like the commentators were begging it like, oh, PSG look really nervous now, and then they go on the counterattack and fucking score. Yeah. It's like...
Party just gifted him a shot, but anyway.
Yeah.
Difference maker.
Such a bad... He literally is good, Julian. He just had a terrible performance.
You need to get, I think you need to get rid of him. I think the juice is not worth the squeeze with Thomas Partey.
One bad performance.
No. It's for more reasons than that. But we'll.
Oh my god.
There's a couple more players, real quick.
Yep.
William Pacho.
Fucking hell, man.
Good man.
Great man. We haven't seen a center back at this dominant in PSG since Thiago Silva. We haven't. The kind of nonchalant way of defending that he brings, he kind of reminds me of Van. I'm not gonna say he's Van Dijk, but kind of reminds me of the way Van Dijk defends.
Yep,
this guy's laughing. You good?
Just talk about your team. Like, just keep going.
You would be doing the exact same thing in my position.
And you would be doing the exact same thing as my position.
I would not be doing the exact same thing in your position. I wouldn't.
You just said fucking an hour ago that you might not even show up.
I was joking. Like, obviously, I would show up.
Oh my god, man, just enjoy talking about your team. I don't have to enjoy it. Go ahead.
Pacho's been our best center back this season. He has. Marquinhos, for all the good things that he's accomplished with this club, I think next season is an area of the pitch that we can improve.
Yeah.
He still scares me. It was proven in the goal that Arsenal scored, where he literally falls, tries to grab the ball with his fucking hands, even though there's no foul. And it was kind of shaky from him. I'm not going to lie. It was a little bit shaky from him, especially towards the end of the second half.
Yeah.
But Pacho is consistently very solid. He consistently puts out 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10 performances. The last time he had a stinker was against Arsenal in October.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it's been super solid. I will stand by my point that he is a top 5 center back in the world this season. I will, because he has been. He seriously has been.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been another center back a lot more center backs this season with as much dominance and just. He's just so good in the tackle, so good in anticipating the game.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to say for me about him.
Yeah. I actually don't think of many areas like of your 11 where you could buy improvements.
The right center back.
Center back, and then like I guess Barcola looks a little quiet sometimes. Maybe a striker if you're not gonna play that Dembele in the long term. Am I wrong?
No, but Arsenal bottled, right? You just said they have nowhere to improve, but Arsenal bottled that you said that they did, that you said they were favorites, but you just said that they have nowhere to improve.
You were favorites. That's not an opinion of mine. That's just fact.
So then that kind of doesn't really make sense for what you said, but keep going.
No, it does make perfect sense because they have several players in those positions who are also...
If we bottled, that means we should have won, but you just said they have no improvements, and I can give you like 3 spots where Arsenal need improvements. But anyway... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You do have areas where you can improve. You obviously.
We're talking about you obviously the PSG team. So
we're nearing the end of the PSG talk. I want to talk about Nuno Mendes, who I thought had a very bad game, especially in the first half.
Yeah.
It's like he wanted Arsenal to come back in the first half. I'm not gonna lie.
I thought he did all right against Saka.
No, brother. He's booked in the first 15 minutes.
I thought Vara did better defending Saka than
that's,
you know,
I think,
Mendes
I think
did.
That's what. It's such a good point, actually.
Kvara, I'm gonna get on to
it. You guys just doubled him super well.
But yeah. Nuno Mendes, he's booked in the first 15 minutes, and every single time that he tries to play a pass to, mm-hmm. to rebuild the game, to build up from the back, it's a very shaky pass. I didn't think he had the best game at all. In the first half, I thought that he was low-key kind of playing for Arsenal, mm-hmm. if I'm honest. And the fact that Kvaratskhelia is there to help him in defense is brilliant. And I want to get into that because he seriously has been so good for us in such a short period of time. This guy joined us in January. It's been 3 months now. Mm-hmm. And he is such a key piece to our team. It's incredible. The way in which he comes back to defend every single time when Nuno Mendes needs help, even when he doesn't need help, his work rate is incredible. To me, it's very easy for him, being the star of Napoli, to come into this PSG side and think, I'm the best player in this team. Mm-hmm. There's no one better than me in this team. But the fact that he came into this team with the humble mindset, with his humble mindset, didn't start right away. It was Barcola on the left, yeah. and cemented his spot in the team as an undroppable left winger who also comes back and defends. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me. The fact that he did this in such a short amount of time, the pressure that he puts on opposing teams. I don't think there's a left wing in this season that defends as better that he did.
Yeah.
I don't think puts as much effort as he does.
Yeah.
He's not top five in his position. Maybe he is, but the work that he brings to a team, what he brings to a team is much better than a lot of left wingers this season.
Yeah.
It is. And we're in a Champions League final.
What a team, man.
And we're in a Champions League final. Thank you, Hakimi, as well.
Just I can't remember the last time I had fun watching a team as much as I have watching PSG this season.
Me neither. Down
in
Barcelona.
And I see some Twitter tacticos like, this is such low level. Oh, the lack of systems. This an average Pep team is smacking these teams up. Shut the fuck up.
No, they're not.
Football is back.
Name me a manager that, with given this PSG squad, does a better job than Luis Enrique. I don't think there's a better manager to manage this team other
because
than Luis Enrique.
This level of improvement is quite literally unimaginable.
It isn't.
This year.
Yeah. This was supposed to be a 5-year project, and it still is. Yeah. In the first year of our rebuild.
Yeah. You're way
we're
ahead
in the
of
Champions
schedule.
League final.
You're way ahead of schedule.
Pretty impressive.
This is only Luis Enrique's second season.
It's
and he's
his second
got you in
season,
a Champions League final.
And
that
he's already the best
crazy.
Coach we've ever had. He's already the best manager that
that's
PSG's
crazy.
Ever had.
How fast he's been able to come in and mm-hmm. just.
And there was doubts about him last season. There was doubts about him last season after the defeat to Dortmund and the beginning of the season when it wasn't clicking.
Yep.
But he has completely proved every single person that were doubting him wrong. And the work that he's been doing with this PSG team, it's outstanding.
Yep.
There's no. I'm running out of adjectives for the work that he has done with this team. We are not supposed to be here right now. We lost our best player last year.
Yeah,
he went to. There's a quote that he had a Mbappe had an interview a couple months ago, and he said that if I tie my future to Champions League success, I would have left PSG years ago. He leaves PSG. Last season, and now we're in a Champions League final.
I don't think you're in the Champions League final if he's still there.
I don't think so either. I seriously don't think so either. A lot of people are saying that if we're in a champion, if he was in the team this season, we would have scored 6 past Arsenal.
No, bro.
But you have to look beyond that. Maybe he would have finished the chances that we fluffed against Arsenal.
Maybe,
but
like,
does he defend as well as Dembele
exactly.
does? Does he come back
as
much as Kvaratskhelia?
Exactly.
He does not.
And there's
and
so
we've
much interchanging
seen that
there.
Problem at Madrid this season.
Yes.
We've seen that he is not a player that defends. He is not a player that is willing to help the team in the defensive phase of the
Absolutely.
Game. And it's so important for a team that plays like PSG this year. I don't think if Mbappe is in this PSG team this year, they don't reach the final. They don't reach the final.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite embarrassing for his, I've said this before, but the picture that paints for him as a player, it's a very bad one. There's always, if PSG win this Champions League, there's always going to be an asterisk next to his career, as when he left that team that he was the best player in, they went on to win the Champions League without him in the first season. And he crashed out of the Champions League in dramatic fashion with a team that has the best players in the world.
Yeah. God. Penny for his feelings, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Arsenal talk.
Let's get into some Arsenal talk.
Let's do it.
I don't know if we want to go player by player. I don't know if we want to zoom out and have a full discussion.
Let's go.
We go player by player.
Like, I don't think we need to go player by player. I don't think.
Let's go big picture, Julian. And this is where.
It has now been.
Fucking flip it out. I can just tell.
It's been 5 years now where Arsenal not only not won a trophy, where they have not even reached a final in that point. And you can't blame Mikel Arteta for this one, obviously, but. The more you zoom out, the more you have to have that difficult conversation.
No, you don't.
I don't think you can be disappointed in this Arsenal team for crashing out of the Champions League semifinals. I think it's a big testament to them, and you have to give some plaudits for them even being here at this moment. You know? You have to.
Absolutely.
You have to. I think another season trophy-less where you are good enough to win a league title, going out against United in the FA Cup, going out to Newcastle in the Carabao Cup, these are not things that should be happening. And I know you have to be like, there is progress. There is, we look better. Klopp didn't do this in his first years at Liverpool.
Can I?
Football's about winning trophies. It just is.
It is.
It is.
It is.
The history books will not remember
good runs. No, they won't.
They won't remember.
Do you remember Schalke in when Neuer was there?
No,
not many people do because they didn't win. They
were
a great team, but they didn't win
trophies. And I'll tell you, even the quote unquote smaller trophies, that your Carabao Cups, your FA Cups, that instills a mindset where, or instills a mentality in the fans, and instills trust in the manager, and instills an environment where you trust the players and you trust your club at the moment. And that I think Arsenal fans need that because. Football is to win trophies. It is. You don't play just to almost get there.
To be cemented as a big club, you need silverware. You need silverware. It's as simple as that. You guys haven't had a trophy in 5 years. Sure, maybe that may not be Mikel Arteta's fault. But if I'm completely honest, yesterday, I don't think Mikel Arteta coached a semifinal. I don't. And over the two legs, I don't think he coached a semifinal. I don't. When I see Ethan Nwaneri on the bench, when a Martin Odegaard is far from his normal form, running away from his past self, playing like shit in the second half, and I see Ethan Nwaneri on the bench, who likes to shoot, likes to provoke, likes to create chances, plays 0 minutes, there's a problem. And that points to who? That points to the manager.
Yeah.
The fact that Ben White is the first sub in that game, even if Jurrien Timber is injured, I don't care. But why is that the case? I need explanations. Why is that the case?
I don't think he was the first sub in that game.
It doesn't matter. Why are you making a defensive sub when you're down 2 goals? It doesn't matter.
Yes. Yes.
Can I speak now?
Go ahead.
What are your thoughts right now, Blake?
Okay. Your dad talked about small-mindedness in fans.
Shut up, Papa B.
I don't give a fuck what either of you say. An FA Cup or a Carabao Cup, I could care less about. I want... No, let me fucking finish.
Chill with the swear.
No, let me fucking finish.
Chill with the swear.
Don't shake your head. But I don't care about an FA Cup that I've seen Arsene Wenger win and those teams have been considered as failures. I don't care about an FA Cup that Manchester United won fucking last year and look where they are now. You say it instills mindset, it instills trust. Your manager was sacked halfway through that season. So much trust you had in him that you had to sack him, even though he won an FA Cup. I don't care about an FA Cup or a Carabao Cup. Yes, they would be nice to win, and honestly, next season, it might be worth going for them, but that's not what I care about, first of all. Second of all, you want to rely on another 18-year-old in a situation in the biggest game of his life when he hasn't really been playing for the last 3 months because he hasn't been
as good as why hasn't he been playing for the last 3 months? There's a problem there. When Martin Odegaard was injured, why wasn't he playing regularly? Why was he only coming on for Preston? Why was he only making cameos against Preston in the Carabao Cup. There's a problem there. Okay. There's a problem there. There is. The fact that he's not ready at this stage of the season is a problem because Martin Odegaard was injured for 3 months where he could have stepped up and elevate this team. Even if he's 18, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Age goes out the window when you have a certain amount of quality. We don't mention how Miles Lewis-Skelly is 18 every week because he's fucking good. He is good at what he does. Absolutely. Ethan Winery should be in that same conversation. And the fact that he gets 0 minutes is a problem. And it's Arteta's fault. It is.
He's a generational talent.
He is. We were saying 5 months ago, we literally made a clip, stop me when you hear a better player than Ethan Nwaneri.
I know.
We went on for 5-6 names. You can talk.
I mean, I couldn't. I was interrupted.
You didn't try to talk.
I was okay. Interrupted. You just started yelling, so I let you go. Like I said before, I was interrupted. I don't think Ethan Nwaneri changes the game.
You don't?
I don't.
Why?
I think it could have.
Why not? You don't think it brings a different...
He's also been playing as a right winger primarily as his position. He's been on the right. He hasn't really taken that center attacking mid or the other side in the pivot role. So it's not a direct one-to-one comparison, not a direct one-to-one swap. Do I think that Arteta probably should have brought him on? Maybe, but that's not... Again, that's a microcosm of the game that doesn't really need to be scrutinized as much as you yelling about it. Because at the end of the day, you said, why are we bringing on Ben White? Because that's the only fucking players that we have. Because our recruitment in the summer was fucking disgraceful.
That's
you
want
to talk about that? So, no, let me fucking talk about that then. Let me talk about the recruitment in the summer. And sure, you can yell about Arteta not doing it too. But it's also the board. And it's more than that. But I can't sit here and say that our recruitment over the last 3-4 years hasn't been good. So if they wanted to take one summer off after the last three have been fantastic, that's fine by me. But it's showing here that we clearly did not have the squad depth to compete in a Champions League semifinal. And you want to talk about us being favored, but we had to bring on Ben White and fucking Zinchenko in the last game probably. And then fucking Calafiori. And we're relying on an 18-year-old who hasn't even played in the position that you want to bring him on in. That's who we're relying on because we don't have the squad depth. We didn't have a striker because they're both injured. Our best winger option is fucking 7-year-old Raheem Sterling, who hasn't scored a single goal in the Premier League this entire season.
So, Blake, you prefer Ethan Nwaneri? You prefer a Ben White substitution over Ethan Nwaneri? It's what you're telling me. It's what you're telling me, Blake.
You're focusing on the wrong thing. Stop just trying to, like, listen to what I'm saying.
I am.
No, you're not. You're focusing on the only thing that's in your mind. Listen to what I'm saying to you right now. Do I think Arteta maybe should have brought him on? Sure. But that's not the issue of that's not why we lost. That doesn't change the game. It doesn't score 3 goals for us.
That's not the reason you lost either. The players you had are not the reason you lost either. The reason you lost this particular tie is because you couldn't finish your chances. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
You created more chances than PSG and couldn't finish them. That's the reason you lost.
And if we wanted to bring someone on, we didn't have the means.
We're overcomplicating it.
Exactly. That's why.
Yes, I know. We're not only talking about the PSG tie. We're talking about Arsenal as a whole this year. And you can talk about this particular tie, and you can talk about Arsenal as a whole. If you're talking about this tie in particular, I genuinely think if Declan Rice gets that glancing header, if that glancing header goes in, we're having a completely different conversation about this tie in general. Maybe even you guys go through. We don't know how momentum works. We don't know how it wouldn't have gone. But factually, you created more than PSG in terms of XG and chances, and you just did not finish them like PSG did. That's the reason you're not going to a Champions League final, all right? And you were favored. That's just factual. That's not an opinion. And the reason that you're not winning trophy after trophy after trophy for this year, for last year, for the year before that, then you have to have those serious conversations. Then you can't just blame the players that you had available to you. Why are you going out to the team that came in 15th this season? Why did you go out to Newcastle? Why did you bottle trophies in years gone by? It's trophies matter. They matter. I was on top of the world when United won the FA Cup last year. Even though we had our worst season in Premier League history, I went to that summer feeling optimistic. Was there a sense of delusion in that? Sure, because we won a trophy. And that's what football is about. It's about winning. It's about winning trophies. It's not about getting slightly better and better and better if you're not going to win trophies.
Oh my God,
it's about winning.
So mid-table teams have nothing to play for? Is that what you're telling me?
No, because they dream of making an FA Cup run.
Yeah,
making
exactly.
a Carabao
and
Cup
we're
run.
Still there,
making so. It into Europe. That is what they
Look,
care
if
about.
If you guys just want to keep telling me that this team sucks and make me fucking cry myself to sleep tonight, let's keep going. We can do that.
It's not what we're trying to
no,
tell
no,
you.
No, but
we're just...
Let me finish, please. Let me finish.
if you guys just want to keep telling me what's wrong with this team and to not trust Arteta and that we're never going to win a trophy again, sure, keep telling me. Because this has been the worst podcast. Like, this has honestly been the worst podcast. And it's not because of you guys. It's because of the tie. I'm just saying it's really hard for me to be here and just listen to all this shit that you guys are fucking spewing and listen to you rant about how amazing your team is. Because, like, you guys are. But it's hard. But if you want to fucking keep telling me all this shit, it's not going to change my mind. I'm with Arteta. I'm with the board. They're going to go out this summer and recruit in the right areas. And I'm with this team.
You have
I don't know what the fuck you want me to do. Keep telling me we suck. Keep telling me that Arteta's terrible. Keep telling me that we didn't deserve to go through because we couldn't finish our chances. Keep going. We can talk about how terrible this team has been for the last 3 months because they have been. But somehow we made it to a Champions League final. Somehow we were in a way. And if we recruit in the summer, we can win the fucking Premier League. We can win the Champions League. We can win your stupid fucking Carabao and FA Cup that you want us to win so badly because that's all that matters to you as a fan, apparently. Sure, we can do that. We can fucking do that. But at the end of the day, I'm with this club. I love this club. I wouldn't be here if I didn't love this club. I wouldn't be wearing this fucking jersey. But, like, I know I've been on the Leafs wagon for the last month or two or whatever. But this team, it's my sport. Soccer's my sport. I love this club. I love them forever. I was listening to fucking The Angel on the car ride here. Or on the yesterday, on the car ride up to my fucking apartment. I was literally tears in my eyes. Because that's how much it fucking means to me.
Yeah.
That's how much this club means to me. So I don't care that you guys, I don't give a shit what you guys think. Respectfully, I don't. Because I'm in this team. I'm with this team. I'm with the manager. And that's never going to change. That's never going to change. Maybe the manager thing will change, but me being with this team is never going to change. So keep telling me we suck. Keep telling me that we're never going to win anything.
Like, we're not telling you suck, Blake. We're not. We're just asking questions.
If you actually did...
I just gave you an answer.
Do you think Arteta coached the semifinal yesterday?
Yes, I do. I'm fine with what he did. I'm fine with it. Wow. Call me delusional, whatever. Then maybe, just be happy you won. Maybe, why the fuck do you care so much?
Then maybe, Blake, you have to raise expectations a little bit. Because if you're fine with Arteta's performance yesterday, if you think he coached a semifinal, then sure. Then we're fine with that. Then we'll be okay
so
with
why
that.
Are you, so why are
because,
you so mad
because,
about it?
Because he didn't. He didn't coach 5XG, a semifinal. It doesn't matter.
Not enough to
what?
Score
because
a goal?
You guys turned into prime Stoke City when Thomas Partey was thinking he was Roy Delap throwing with 13 throw-ins. It didn't work.
For a team that just won, work. Like, you're clearly upset about Arsenal. I don't know why.
I am upset about Arsenal because you guys have the quality to play better in the game. You guys were favorites coming into this. You have to ask the question about Arteta because no, I don't think he coached a semifinal yesterday.
Okay.
I don't think the players played a semifinal yesterday. You're telling me Thomas Partey played a semifinal yesterday? He didn't. Okay. You're telling me Saliba played a semifinal yesterday? He didn't. Martinelli, he didn't. Kivior, he didn't. Miles Lewis-Kelly, he didn't.
Oh, my God.
He did not.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You're right.
You need to raise the level of...
We didn't even have our full starting 11, Antoine!
Blake, who are you missing?
You're talking about Kivior.
Blake, who are you missing?
Final because we don't Blake, have Gabriel. We don't have a striker. We don't have a left wing that's good enough. We don't have a midfielder that played well enough.
Blake.
That's position. You're telling us... Gabriel should have been playing.
Okay.
Havertz should have been playing.
Okay, that's it. That's it. That's the only two players that should have been playing.
Like, why are you doing this to me?
You're
what do you want me to say?
You're telling me Havertz converts.
Like, fuck, you won.
I know I did.
He needs to suck your dick. You won.
I know we did.
Jesus
I'm just asking the questions that need to be asked.
And I gave
Blake.
You answers. No, and you still didn't. Just keep yelling at me,
Blake,
bro.
You need to raise your level of expectation.
Yeah,
you do.
We need better players. That's what I'm telling you. We're gonna get in the summer.
But don't blame it on you were missing your players because you were missing two players: your center back and your striker, who doesn't even know how to finish.
Two strikers.
It doesn't matter how many times have you complained about Gabriel Jesus and Havertz this season?
And I want a new striker. I've told you that.
But this season, then, you can't complain about missing them because they were missing chances.
I'm talking about next season. We didn't deserve...
You're telling...
I said we didn't deserve to win. I said you were the better team. I don't know what you want from me.
Like, you just told me...
Like, you just want me to feel shit. Like, I don't understand.
You just told me that you were missing your players and that's the reason why you lost. You just told me that.
It definitely didn't help. But you guys deserve to win. With the team that we fielded, you deserve to win. I don't know how many times I can say that. I don't know what the fuck you want me to say in this situation. Like, I don't. You want me to shit on Arteta. That's what you want me to do. You want me to raise my expectations of Arteta.
Because
I do have more expectations of Arteta. But what he showed and what he did for this team with the circumstances that we were fucking giving this season, I will never be mad about what he did, what he proved, and what he gave me this season.
If you're looking at it...
No, I'm not done. You're going to say the exact same thing. So you can keep... Again, I think I'm done with this conversation because you can keep telling me...
We can be done with this conversation, Blake. If you look at it from a project standpoint, Arteta has done an incredible job. He has. He's done an incredible job with this football club. But there's that limit. How long are you going to be on the train for where you're just accepting mediocrity, accepting semifinal exit?
I just told you and you're asking me once again.
How long?
I just told you.
How long?
I said I'll give him a season again, but I'm fully with it.
Raise your expectations, Blake.
I don't fucking want to. Raise them. You're not them. A fucking Arsenal fan.
Raise
Let me
them. I'm
have
not.
My own expectations.
I'm not. But
you don't watch them week in, week out.
I
you
do.
Didn't watch
I do.
You didn't watch banter era Arsenal the way I watch banter era
okay.
Arsenal. I'm fucking slaved watching this goddamn team put up David Luiz and Shkodran Mustafi.
Sure.
And you guys have all the money in the world and your recruitment has been a million times better than ours in simply one season.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the fucking players that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. We have to grind our way to get to this moment and we are still have room to grow. I'm not fucking switching up on Arteta. You keep asking me if I want to. I don't.
Okay.
I have higher expectations for him. My expectation is that we win the Premier League and we win the Champions League next season.
Absolutely.
I don't fucking know. But you can keep asking me the same questions. I am with Arteta. I don't know what the fuck you want me to say.
Like,
what do you want me to say?
If Arteta proves me wrong next season, my hands are up. I don't care. It's just Arsenal fans in general, in my eyes, need to raise their expectations. You did not play a semi-final yesterday. You did not.
Sure.
It doesn't
I disagree.
Matter. The, with
Move
with,
on, because I disagree.
Like, I think, I seriously think, I'm sorry,
you're
Blake.
You're going to say
the same
thing one
no, more time. No, I'm not. I seriously think, Blake, with the players that you had on the pitch yesterday, I think there's a handful of managers that do a better job with that team.
I disagree, but fair enough. I'm
not knocking the process in which Arteta... brought you to this.
Disagree.
Okay, you can disagree with me. That's not a problem, Blake. I'm not bashing on what Arteta has brought to your club. I'm just saying now, at this top level, with this breed of players, with this squad, I think there are managers that can do a better job. There are.
Okay, I disagree.
Okay,
because
you
Arteta
can disagree.
He had to shift the players and the system multiple times this season with the amount of injuries and stuff that we had, and you're going to shake your head, but it's true. He had to shift the system. He had to shift players. He had to plug in players that didn't play in those positions. I think he's done a fantastic job with everything, all things considered. You think he hasn't. You think he's not good enough.
I think
Arsenal.
All things considered, he has done a great job with your club.
No. Stop going back on your word. You
what?
Think he's not good enough.
I don't. I'll admit it. No, I don't.
I don't think
I'm the only one to think that either.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I think he is.
I'm telling you, Blake. As a whole, he's done great things for your club. At this top level, I don't think so.
Okay, respectfully, I think you're wrong, and I really hope he proves you wrong.
I hope so too, Blake. I hope so too. I want to see you happy with this team. I've seen you on the verge of celebrations last season, two seasons ago. I thought 22-23 was Arsenal's best season in terms of coherence in the play, and you were so happy. You were so... I want to see you win that trophy, Blake, but I'm telling you, in order to win that trophy, I think you need to raise the expectations. There's nothing more in this world that I would want for you than be excited of winning a Premier League. I seriously don't.
I mean, I want that too, and I think Arteta can do it for
okay,
us.
Okay, then he can.
I think...
Why are you mad that I think that? Like,
I'm not, Blake.
You
I just
are,
think...
Like,
it's been three seasons now. All things
last,
considered.
The first season... Again...
Okay, have you been playing better than last season, Blake? Have you been playing better this season than in 22-23?
I mean... You
no.
23-24. We made it to a
no,
UCL...
No, 22-23, I think, is Arsenal's
made
best year.
Made it to a UCL semifinal,
really?
But... Look, we can keep going with this. Like, it's just... This is really getting,
we can stop here,
tiring, but...
I think... Okay. I'm going to inject my opinion here. I don't think Arteta should go. I do not. I think how you judge a manager is you look at the tools that they have and you consider the circumstances, because you can't not consider the circumstances, and you go, did they get the best out of this team? And I think Arteta, sure, he could have, like, I do think, contrary to you, Antoine, I'm here for the banter, but I do think he coached a semifinal. I think if the chances go differently, then we're praising Arteta. And that's unfair on him. I do think if it's just, if the chances are finished, we're having a completely different conversation. I think we are. And I think he's done decent with the players and circumstances that he's been presented this season. I think this conversation, this serious conversation we're having about Arteta, should be under serious pressure. I think we got to redirect that to the board. I think we got to redirect that to whoever was in charge of transfers last summer. I think you got to redirect it to the person that bottled the January transfer window for Arsenal.
I agree.
I was listening yesterday, last night, to our conversation a year ago about City winning the Premier League and what Arsenal need to do to challenge them this season.
What were we saying?
We were saying the exact same things we were saying now.
Yeah.
Buy a striker.
Yeah.
Buy depth. Bring in a squad. Give Arteta the pieces to win the big trophies. And while I still think this season he had pieces to win a trophy... while challenging for a title, he did not have the necessary pieces to reliably challenge for the Champions League and the Premier League.
Yeah.
Something else I said last year was that these players have done so well as a team, but that there's not enough of a squad there where you can rely on them because of injuries. They were so worked in 22-23, so worked last season. How surprised are we that they're cracking a little bit here and their bodies can't take anymore? The level, the style of football you play is so energy intensive, as it should be, and no fucking shit, a lot of your key players couldn't take that anymore. You had a lot of hamstring injuries. That is the biggest indicator of a footballer being overworked. It's the hamstring going. And you had that for multiple players this year. And we said this exact same thing last year. You need depth and you need a number nine to turn to. Mm-hmm. And we said, especially with the number nine, we said the exact same thing in January. You were linked to Ollie Watkins. If you had Ollie Watkins in this game, I don't know how it goes, but maybe I can think of certain moments this season where you could have done with an Ollie Watkins up front, especially after Havertz gets injured. We're having a conversation about Mikel Merino as striker. And sure, he's produced very well there. And, you know, you're better there. You're better with him there in this tie than you are without him. That is true. That is true. But the fact we're even having that conversation is ridiculous. And I don't blame that under Arteta or any of the players that were there, because the players that came in to Havertz and et cetera's place did very well this season. But how much can you fucking expect of them? Mm-hmm. Like, on a reel. If you had Ollie Watkins there, or if you had a fucking decent striker there, then you have options. You have a game plan that you can build around that. You have somebody there that can put the ball in the back of the net, which is your biggest problem in this tie against PSG. We have to have a serious conversation about the recruitment here. You guys bottled that. Bottled it. Seriously.
And Edu left, right?
Did Edu leave? I think he has left. Or he was going to leave at the end of the season. No, whatever it may be. But he was there last summer, right?
You guys got a new guy yet?
Yeah, it's the Atletico.
There you go. So let's hope that he produces this summer. Mm-hmm. But last summer, what? It was Marino. It was Calafiori. I'm forgetting somebody. Who else was it?
Sterling?
It was Sterling. Is there anybody else, Blake? Because
yeah, it's poor, man.
That's poor. That's poor.
Yeah.
That's really poor.
Yeah. I think everything you said was great. Like,
I
completely agree with what you said.
You need... I know you've been linked. You've been linked to, like, a Zubimendi. You've been linked to a Gukerez. You need to land pieces like this. Mm-hmm. It's time.
It is.
It's time.
It is.
This is you cannot have another season like this next year.
I agree.
And
I agree with you.
But if you do nothing in the summer and we're in this exact same position next year, I don't want to be having the Arteta conversation. We'll have to. But the Arteta conversation will be a waste of our fucking time. Because it'll be ignoring the bigger conversation of Look at the fucking recruitment. Dude, that's just not getting talked about enough.
Preaching to the choir, man. Like, this is how I felt the whole season. And I talk about depth and having to change stuff, and it kind of gets thrown back in my face. But that's how I feel. And I totally agree with you. But we should go to Barca and Inter. Unless you guys have any last things to say.
I think what you said is very, very valid, Julian, as well.
And it's not the fun conversation to have. It's fun to banter the Arsenal players and Arteta and the Arsenal fans. That's why I'm wearing this fucking suit right here. All right? I'm sorry, Blake, but it is. But that is the actual meaningful conversation that I want to have on this podcast. The actual reason that we're having this conversation right now is because the recruitment was a fucking disgrace over the past 12 months. It was. So
agreed.
That's the part you really need to step up. And if or when you do sign these massive players in the summer, then we could have serious conversations about you guys. Until then, fucking forget it, man.
I agree.
I was a clown for predicting you guys would win the Premier League.
A what?
I predicted them to win the Premier this
season. We have to go back on that, eh? I think we had a Nottingham Forest relegated. I think I certainly did.
I said Liverpool would be eighth.
Oh. Where'd you have United, you remember?
Somewhere top four. Hey, listen, man. We'll go to it. After game week 38, we'll go to it.
Yeah.
If there's anything we should visit, it's our fucking brackets. We'll do that when Naps comes,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Anyways. One last point on this tie. I think it was super high level. I enjoyed it very much. PSG, whether you made it or you didn't, that conversation about your future is still there.
Yeah.
The conversation about Arsenal's future is also there if you have the summer. And Thomas Partey was shit.
Yeah. He was really bad.
I do think you should genuinely move on from him and replace him.
Zubimendi, hopefully.
Yeah. Zubimendi. I think the injuries, the off-field stuff.
What Thomas Partey usually is very good at is getting the ball back after Arsenal lose it, like right away. He's always first to the press.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I didn't really see that. But he's very... I seriously think he's one of the best players in the world at doing that.
Yeah.
I seriously hold him to that level. But yesterday, it just wasn't there.
How'd you think of Doué's performance yesterday? We'll make this super quick.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. I think the lights are getting very bright for him. Very bright. He's getting so much attention very quick. Tipped as the next
Neymar. I still
think
he had moments.
He had moments for sure. This shot on Rise a little
his
tame.
His ball retention was very underrated yesterday, I feel.
Yeah.
The amount of times that you guys were under pressure, but then he got it off just like a second chance, like a second ball. Got the second ball, calms it down, secures possession for you guys.
Yeah.
That's such a big
thing. The thing with Doué is a lot of people look at him as a tricky player, and obviously he is. But in judging his performances, I also look at the defensive work that he brings to the team. And I've said this last week, and I thought it was brilliant in the first leg. I didn't think it was that good this game, but it was still decent. So a lot of people bashing him for not producing offensively, but you have to look at what he brings to the team much beyond that defensively.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Two flowers to give to Arsenal players. David Raya, who I think can hold his head up very high after this tie.
Yes.
And I thought Jurrien Timber also played decent as well. Jurrien Timber.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are two pieces. Anyways.
Did I miss one? Saka.
Saka, of course.
Saka played great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to perhaps the greatest Champions League tie of all time, maybe.
It's a bit of
a shame we're almost an hour into this podcast just touching on this now.
Wow.
But with the nature of our hosts here, I'm not going to apologize.
Mm.
But anyways, Inter Milan, 7, Barcelona, 6.
Wow.
What a game. What a tie, boys.
Mm-hmm.
I actually predicted Inter to go through. I did. Because I thought this would be Inter's game that they would draw Barcelona into, and it would be a very tight, very few goals kind of tie.
Yeah.
I did not think playing Barcelona's game, Inter were going to prevail. I did not.
Yeah.
Especially after Rafinha scored in the 87th minute to make it 3-2 and complete the comeback.
After dropping a stinker, by the way.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
He's a GA merchant, I feel like. Even if he has a bad performance, he'll somehow get on the score sheet.
Like Salah. Kind of a good player, though.
Yeah.
How are the Ballon d'Or conversations going? Like, where does this put the Ballon d'Or?
With the Barca players? It puts them 2, 3, 4, I think.
Does this put Dembele in pole position to win the Ballon d'Or?
It does. I think it does.
Most GAs in the French league might win a Champions League.
In 2025, most global contributions of any player.
If Inter win the Champions League, who's
favorite?
I think
he still wins it. Yeah. Because of that Club World Cup that's coming up. I think he can stat pad against a couple shit teams.
Like I said, I feel like Lautaro doesn't, even though he scored in this tie, but I feel like he doesn't have the...
I don't even think he's the best striker for Inter. I think Marcus Thuram is much better than him.
I think he's always like shined in the right circumstances.
Yeah.
I don't think he's like a game-breaking type of player. I think he's very good, but I don't think
That's the thing with the Inter strikers. They're very good in their hold-up play.
Yeah.
Inter don't score many goals. It was kind of an anomaly seeing them score 7 over 2 games. But the strikers are never... I mean, last season, Lautaro finishes top goal scorer at Serie A, and he has quite a high scoring campaign. But the strikers for Inter are never... like, you'll never think that they'll put up a Ballon d'Or-worthy campaign, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Going back to the tie, though.
My God.
I think it's the best Champions League tie of all time.
I mean, competition would be the remontada against PSG. I think you're a little desperate to call this the best tie ever.
No, I'm not, because I look at other great ties in the Champions League. You think of what? You think of the remontada. You think of Madrid versus City 2 years ago or 3 years ago. You think of Roma against Barcelona. That was a decent. But all these ties that you think about have one thing in common, and it's that it's a great comeback.
Yeah.
In this tie, you look at all the aspects, the spectacle, the tension, the implication for both teams, the goal scored, the turn of events, the tactical battle between these two table one managers in today's game, let me say, the emotion, and the fact that there's no comeback. It's two teams going blow for blow, jab for jab. I don't think we've seen anything like this.
Yeah,
I don't.
I think before the the third goal, like the tying goal from Inter, I think it was clearly
the Acerbi one.
Yeah, I think it was still clearly like the remontada tie was clear, but after Acerbi scored, and then it went to extra time.
That brings the tie.
It sold it for me because like
it brings it to a new dimension.
Yeah, it was also almost just like super unexpected. Like after Barca went up in 87th or whatever it was, you just assume
you think it's
ride
over
home
now.
Into the sunset. 100%.
Man, I would have hated to be an Inter or Barca fan during that.
I know.
I was saying before the game, if the PSG Arsenal game is anything like that, I think I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah,
that's why like, not to rehash this argument, but that's why the whole trophy debate, like, I kind of disagree with, because like no one's gonna forget that tie, even if Inter lose the Champions League final, and same with Barca. Like, it's like moments. While the whole goal of playing football is to win, obviously, but if you look at sports as just trying to win, then 31 other seasons aren't fit in, or every other team who doesn't win isn't a failure every single time. Mm-hmm. But that's just
like that Giannis quote.
Exactly. Yeah. Nah.
What was that one again?
He essentially just said,
Michael Jordan didn't win every season.
He was talking about Mbappe, right?
No, I don't
think no. Giannis was talking, it was after the Bucks went out one year in the playoffs. Yeah, right. He was like, Michael Jordan didn't win 15 years. Were those 15 seasons failures?
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of spitting.
No.
hints of salt in there, but you know.
But you do have a point, but that's just like, I think this tie and specifically kind of accentuates that point that like football is about moments.
Which one? The Barca one?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I think we seriously need to give great credit to Inter.
For real.
Look at their squad.
I know.
Yeah. Who does a better job than Simone Inzaghi with this team?
100%.
Nobody.
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 Yeah, I was talking to one of my friends. Like, is he like the best manager in the world right now?
He could be. He could be.
I think he's up there.
He now sits before the these two semifinal ties, there were six managers within the last 15 years to have reached a Champions League final twice. There was Ancelotti, Zidane, Allegri, Klopp, Tuchel,
Enrique now?
Pep.
Is Enrique there?
Mourinho never did.
Enrique
twice.
Now is in that conversation. But Inzaghi also can sit at that table.
Mourinho, wow. Never.
No. In the last 15 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a crazy achievement.
He can now sit at that table. Yeah. And you look at this Inter project. We're kind of like reaching the culmination of it almost, because this is a project that's been going on for a long time now.
Yeah.
I remember when Antonio Conte came in, that's when kind of the project started, where he kind of started building a structure for this team.
Lukaku days, yes.
He brought them to a Europa League final in 2021.
Yes.
That they lost.
Yes.
Still, that's three European finals within the last 5 years. That's incredible for Inter.
Mm-hmm.
And now you look at this team, who are very solid in how they play and impose their game on opponents and are not afraid to defend. They're not afraid to leave their opponents with the ball. You have three 36-year-old players on that team or more.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It's definitely now or never for them. That's why it is. It's kind of what was running through my mind, is like, it's just now or never. And I feel like the players played like that. Like, mm-hmm. they didn't show any fear, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
Well, I do trust the recruitment as well.
I mean, look at the monetary value of these players.
100%.
How much is Acerbi worth?
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
How much is Mkhitaryan worth?
Mkhitaryan, like,
he must be worth pennies.
Çalhanoğlu wasn't worth nothing. Like, Yann Sommer is.
You've got Marcus Thuram on a free.
Yeah.
The player that you spent money on the most, I think, is Fratesi, who was, I don't know, 50 something.
Yeah,
was it 50?
I think it was high.
He didn't even start.
Yeah, he didn't start. But it's like, you're buying Italian talent in your league. It's respectable. Inter are not the team to go and splurge on players, but the way in which Simone Inzaghi utilizes those players, it's outstanding. I don't see another manager getting the most out of their players as much as Inzaghi had.
Agreed. With like the level of talent that
100%. He's not dealing with the best players in the world. Mm-hmm. We're not thinking of any of these Inter players as Ballon d'Or candidates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're saying if Inter win the Champions League, none of their players are going to win Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
That's like an anomaly. Every team that has a player winning the Champions League, and if it's not a year with a international tournament, they usually win the Ballon d'Or.
They bought Fratesi for 31 million euros. Yeah. That was undervalued, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, from Sassuolo.
Mm.
There you go.
And Sommer, man. Like, I want to talk about him.
Yes.
Wow. He was just...
From a goalkeeper yourself?
Yeah.
Yes.
That didn't just stonewall my team. yeah, no, like, it's crazy to think that he gave up 6 goals in the tie, but he still played so well.
Still got man of the match.
Yeah, right? And it's like, it's about moments, right? Like we just said, but it's about key moments that you said with the Kvaratskhelia mm-hmm. post that changed the narrative or changed the momentum of the game. His save against Gerard Martin, where he like dove or whatever.
Eric Garcia?
Or was it Eric Garcia?
The right, the one where he says it's a bad shot?
Yeah, yeah.
Eric Garcia.
I thought Eric Garcia. No, that would have been a brace for Garcia.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Because it's such a beautiful finish for the first goal. And yeah. And then he pulls that out.
But anyway, it was just that moment right there is that's what changed it for me because that's like a holy fuck. It's like now it's time to go.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, like I think he just continuously kept him in the game. That save against Lamine Yamal in extra time was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like it's just these like game breaking moments that I don't think should ever be forggotten. Like it might be a goalie battle in the UCL 100%. Final.
Like if Inter go on to win this Champions League, it'll be the same kind of, we'll be looking at it the same way if PSG win the Champions League, is that their goalkeeper mm-hmm. was one of the main catalysts to helping them win this competition.
Yes.
We will have this picture engraved in our head of Jan Sommer saving that Lamine Yamal curler in the end of the extra time second half or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
When thinking crazy. Of this game, we will always have that picture in our minds.
Yes.
He's 36 years old.
Yeah.
Did you see the stat of how long Inter have trailed for in this entire tournament?
No.
How about you guess?
I know that Rafinha's goal was the first time Barcelona led this entire tie, which is crazy.
How about you take a guess? How long have Inter trailed for in this entire tournament? So 14 games.
I'll say 20 minutes.
15 minutes.
Wow. That's crazy.
15 minutes. They played 1,290 minutes.
That's insane.
Oh, my God.
And they trailed for 15 of those.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Holy fuck. That's insane.
It's insane.
And it's a testament to how good they are defensively, but you can't apply that to this tie here.
No, you can't.
Because, again, like, you go into this game as Barcelona. We're going to score 3 goals at the San Siro. Fantastic. We're going to win this game. And Inter played... beat Barca at Barca's game. That's the most impressive part about this tie, to me. Because Inter's route to winning this tie was not 7-6, mm-hmm. was not going goal for goal. Yeah. You know, like, how do you beat that Barca attack at attacking was not something that I think the Inter coach was thinking about in his head. It was supposed to be a solid defensive performance. Mm-hmm. You know, get the lead early. Go 2-0 up twice and hold that lead.
Yeah.
7-6. Dog. It's crazy.
Yeah. I want to kind of take this to looking at it from a Barcelona lens. Can we consider this a deception can we be sad if you're a Barcelona fan? Like, do you feel like hopeless or
absolutely
no, right?
You know what? You know what I was seeing some comparisons to this? It was 2008. They played United in the Champions League semifinals and lost 2-1 on aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the Paul Scholes banger, whatever it may have been. You had a young Messi coming through.
Yeah.
I think it was Pep's first year.
Yeah.
There was signs and formations of a future dynasty at Barcelona.
And damn, we saw a dynasty.
And damn, we saw that. We could be seeing the same thing here. You're composed of a lot of young players. You have a bunch more coming through, mm-hmm. even in this game. Gerard Martin, 2 assists. Like, yeah, we've seen him this season, but if he's going to take a step up next year and along with the other youngsters, like, do we just have another wave of La Masia coming through? Like, this is getting
like you already have
ridiculous.
Balde there.
Yes.
And the fact that he provides those 2 assists after putting in a very poor first half performance is incredible.
Yes. And even, like, he's not even been known for his crossing.
I know.
He can send in a dangerous low cross, but, like, especially that second goal, ridiculous.
Disgusting.
Ridiculous.
Disgusting.
They're going to buy in the summer. You just know they're going to buy in the summer. They're going to find a way to get in around the financials, around that. They need a striker.
Yeah.
They need a striker because I wouldn't rely on Ferran Torres there with an aging Lewandowski. But those are holes you can plug, dude. Those are holes you can plug. You have a core there that could be a dynasty. And all of a sudden, out of the depths of despair last year of what El Clasico had kind of become, you have the Galacticos on one side and you have this Barca team on the other side. And all of a sudden, La Liga looks amazing again. All of a sudden, football looks amazing again. I'm telling you, football is at its best when Barca and Real Madrid are looking really good. Yeah. And this is what it looks like. Barcelona could be on the brink of a dynasty here, genuinely. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, like Real Madrid dominating the Champions League for the next couple of years. Depends on the coach and system they have. But I think this Barca team looks even more dangerous because the core that they have under Hansi Flick is going to be a problem over the next couple of years.
I am so scared of the Lamine Yamal we're going to get next year.
Yeah.
I'm terrified.
No.
He gave it his all against Inter, first of all, over the two legs.
Yeah.
I thought he was the best player over the two legs, without a doubt. Even if Denzel Dumfries gets 5 goal contributions out of 7, I think Lamine Yamal is the best player in the tie over the two legs. No question.
I really hope he has a good head on his shoulders and he doesn't.
I think he does. You look at last year. Barcelona crashed out of the Champions League quarterfinal against PSG after an Araujo red card that makes Lamine Yamal get subbed off. Lamine Yamal gets subbed off because of the Araujo red card.
Yeah.
Comes back this year, puts in an incredible Euros campaign, and terrorizes the entirety of Europe in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Crashes out of the semifinal after playing incredible football throughout most of the campaign.
Yeah.
What is going to happen next year? He's going to come back so good. I'm scared.
I know.
I'm so scared.
I know.
I would have loved to see him in the Champions League final.
I know.
Like at 17 years old, seeing a player with such danger every time he's on the ball. The fact that everybody unanimously knows that something will happen when he's on the ball. I would have loved to see that in the Champions League final.
And if I'm PSG, I would have hoped that Barca made it through.
Oh, 100%. I'm so happy Barca aren't in the Champions League final.
You're happy they're not?
Because...
No, I'm saying I would have wanted Barca in the final if I was PSG. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Dude, what?
Because I think you guys play a very similar system, and it's simply like you know how that game is going to go. It's going to be stressful. You may have a heart attack watching it, but it's very beatable. This, like you guys on the counterattack versus this Barca defense and their high line, like that could be an issue.
No matchup.
I think you guys against Inter... They could be your kryptonite. I don't know. It's a bad matchup for you guys.
Both matchups, I think, would have been a bad matchup for us. I think Barca would have targeted the back of Marquinhos the entire game.
Yeah.
Like they did against Inter in the first leg where Pedri plays the cross into Rafinha, who headers it down to Ferran Torres, who has an easy tap. And I think they would have literally done that the entire game. The quality of pass in Pedri and the quality in the midfield that Barcelona brings to play a pass exactly where they want is, I think, what would have ruined PSG.
Yeah.
I think they would have targeted Marquinhos the same way I thought Arsenal would have targeted Marquinhos and circled him in the pregame. I think Barcelona would have done that. That's why I'm a little bit more happier that we got Inter.
A little bit of hate I need to throw their Barca's way, though. I'm seeing so much salt and complaining.
Really?
About Hansi Flick talking about the refs. Shut the fuck up, mate. Shut the fuck up. After the Copa del Rey final, you were talking about like, oh, we'll never speak bad about the refs. Glad it's been not even 2 weeks since then. What are we doing? What are we doing? You know what? The biggest mistake they made was missing Inigo Martinez spitting on somebody.
Yeah.
You saw that?
He didn't even have a bad game, the referee.
I don't think he had a bad game. But if you want to talk about VAR and the mistakes they made and the 50-50s didn't go our way, you literally, from what it looks like, you should have had a player sent off.
Yeah.
You're going to say something, Blake. Go ahead.
No, I mean, the point's kind of gone now.
What was it?
I was going to say I think Inter's a bad matchup for everyone.
Yeah.
Which is just a credit to them. So, like, I think... At the end of the day, doesn't anyone who's facing Inter in the final is a bad matchup because their system kind of works against everyone.
It's such
whether it gets broken down like it does against Barca because their attack is so good, but their system of just clogging the passing lanes and sitting low and stepping on the counter and then breaking at the right time, I think that just fucks everyone up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was my point.
Especially when you look at the finals of the last couple of years and it's been so low scoring.
Yeah, exactly.
What does that say for this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I'd be really scared of Inter, bro. Their system's so weird.
Mm-hmm. So it's weird.
It's
and the formation's weird too.
What, 3-5-2?
Like it's just
3-5-2, but then on the ball it's like a little
the wing backs just do whatever.
I can't even explain it, bro. Like
it's just so fluid.
I want to shout out DeMarco. I thought he was better.
I thought he got subbed off a little early.
Yeah, I thought he was a lot better. Was it because of an injury maybe?
Maybe. I don't know, but he's the one that dispossesses Dani Olmo on the first goal.
Exactly, right?
Plays that killer pass.
And we were shitting on him in the first leg because he got done up by Lamine. But
rightly so.
Yeah. But I thought he really bounced back.
He did.
And that's like something to be proud of for him. And I like he's such a good player.
Yeah.
He really is. Like, it's one of those random, like, why is he 34, but just a baller.
He's 34?
DeMarco's old. Like, check his age right now.
Are you serious?
Age. He's. I think he's really old.
He's 27.
Okay. Oh, is he 27?
Yeah.
He looks old.
Oh, I thought
he looks like he's 34. Yeah. I'll give it to you.
Oh, I thought he was old. My bad.
That's all good. Darmian, maybe?
No. Darmian's been around a lot.
But he kind of just came out of nowhere, right? Like, it's...
Yeah, I mean, he's just been regarded as a good Serie A left back.
So,
Darmian's 35.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Maybe. He also had a decent cameo coming on, too. This guy was a bum at United. Look at him now.
He was, dude.
Fucking hell.
He'll be a Champions League winner in a couple weeks.
Mkhitaryan, Çalhanoğlu, fucking Arnautovic. Champions League finalist, dude. That's mental.
Quick word on Araujo.
You think he had a stinker?
Oh my god!
Yeah, well, I was hearing like some begging for him to come on.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I was seeing after the game. You know the Interstellar? No. it was someone retweeting or replying to the Barcelona tweet that said Araujo on for Martinez with that meme.
Yeah.
No, it's you have to look at the facts. It's now 2 years where he's at the heart of a Barcelona elimination in the Champions League.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. In the first year, he gets sent off against PSG. And this year, he is not marking Acerbi very well. He even admitted it himself. He shouldn't be getting done out like that. And then on the fourth goal, he just gets turned, twist and turn by Thuram, plays everybody onside on the pass, and is kind of not there to defend Fratesi's shot, who has 15 years to shoot.
Yeah. We need to have an episode where we like just preview all of these teams' summers, what they need to do.
Yeah,
we need a detailed plan.
We need to do the ideal transfer windows.
Yeah.
But for a guy that was kind of tipped to be the best Barcelona center back a couple years ago when they were playing Oscar Mingueza with them, partnered up with him, there was a lot of hype surrounding this guy. And it's now 2 years where he's at the crime scene of Barcelona exit, and he has his fingerprints all over them.
Yeah, that's their biggest hole.
You think so?
Is the center? I think they're center backs.
They need to find a decent partner for Cubarsí. Like, I think.
Inigo has been decent this season. You can't deny
but
that.
But he's old.
He is old. That's the thing.
You look at everywhere else. Like, obviously a striker, but even if you have to plug Lewa in for another season, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's not ideal, but he's.
It's definitely. It's not ideal, like you said.
He also has what 25.
You
goals?
Really have to.
Yeah, he's contending for the Pichichi. Like, let's be honest.
I don't know what. Like what their budget is looking like. I don't know what they'll be able to do.
But if I think if you have, you look through everything, obviously the attack is insane. The midfield we just talked about, the wing backs, Balde and Koundé. The center back is glaring. Maybe a goalie too, but you're not going to move off of Ter Stegen, are you?
I think so.
Maybe.
I think he's getting a little old now, no?
Fair. I mean, and Chesney's probably back to retiring after this. So
Ter Stegen old?
Well, he's definitely you said it was prime keeper years, but.
It's probably like, what, 32, 33?
33,
34. That is probably, oh like, God. You still have, you still have three more years. So.
Yeah, like the Barcelona fans don't like him.
So, I don't know. I think definitely a center back is like I know Real Madrid's targeting Saliba. Kerbrassi's left-footed, right?
No. I think he's right-footed.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. But, anyway. Like, Real Madrid's targeting Saliba, but, like, I think it's time for Barca, obviously not to fucking get Saliba, but to get a center back to partner with him.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest hole.
You think Saliba goes this summer?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, it depends.
I forgot to bring this up in the argument. I don't want to start another argument.
Nah, it's fine. I'm over it now. To be honest,
I was just gonna say, like, if you don't win more if you don't start winning trophies, players are gonna want to leave to win trophies.
For sure.
Yeah. Now.
A little preview of the Europa League, and then bye bye.
All right. I mean, there isn't much preview to do. Like, I think we pretty much know what our Europa League final is going to be.
Fucking tie. Isn't like the whole.
This is like his nightmare. This is like his biggest nightmare.
Thank God. All I'm going to say is thank God the Leafs won.
Arsenal, yeah, thank God, because he could have.
I was about to cry on the podcast, guys. Like I was today. Fighting. Yeah, I was fighting. Like they're really? So angry.
You should have
just heartbroken, bro. Like just yeah. Like that. This has been the hardest podcast I've ever had to do. This is like one of the hardest things I've done in a while.
And I want you to know, Blake, that genuinely, when I say these things, it's from the bottom of my heart because I want to see you guys succeed.
No, yeah.
And in my eyes, I don't think you can succeed with this if you keep going with this. I seriously, I want you to succeed. I'm not trying to start shit.
This is the time where I actually want you to succeed the most because Man United can't stop it. So it's like, you know what? Well, we're struggling.
Oh, you think you're going to stop it next season? Yeah, okay.
No. We're not stopping it next season. We're not stopping it next season. So I'm still cheering for you guys next season. I'm saying, like, if we were challenging you guys for the league title, I'd be hating on you a lot more.
Mm.
But there is still that side of me that would love to see a happy Blake. I would love to see Arsenal win for happy Blake.
Yeah. So that's it. Until he gets delusional, then we can go back to hating.
Fair.
I'm joking.
Sorry, I forgot to take off my suit, guys.
I just, I can't, like, I'm trying, like, I know I've been such weird energy.
No, it's all good. We understand.
I think it's understandable.
We understand.
I think it's understandable.
From everything that we've provoked out of you, I think.
Yeah.
I was so happy too this
morning. And I wouldn't want it any other, like, if I was the one that was eliminated yesterday, you guys should have done the same thing to me.
Yeah.
Suits and everything.
No, it's like, it's nothing personal. It's just hard. It's just really hard. And then, like, I can't even hate watch today. Like, am I even going to watch?
You can. You never know.
True, crazier things have happened.
Yeah,
but I think the their squad is like completely fucked. No, don't they have a lot of injuries?
Athletic Bilbao.
Yeah,
really? Bilbao. Both the Williams brothers are out.
This okay, is what well, I'm saying.
And since it has been their brothers, top
I think I'm gonna watch some Conference League instead.
This is what I'm saying. Like, and like, is Bodo gonna name one Bodo player? We did this last week. No.
I don't think.
I can't even fucking hate watch, bro.
I'm sorry, bro.
And then I have to cheer for United in the final. Like,
do you though?
No, I can't.
I think you lose either way, whichever team wins.
No, you guys can win. Yeah, that's fine.
These next couple weeks are gonna be hard for Blake. Unless. The big one comes.
I need it.
The big fish, as they say.
I need it, bro. Please.
Who? What?
Football's not been nice to me this year.
The Stanley
year.
Cup for his sake. I need Toronto to win.
No, football's been hard for us. It's been a hard like. Overall, I think it's been a really hard year for an Arsenal fan. Like, this has been the most dejected year ever since we've been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this has been the worst year, even with the
semifinal. With the biggest drop-off, yeah. I think so. Even if you reach the semifinal, I don't think in the game you were as coherent as previous
And, like,
years.
Overall, as, like, just, like, a vibe standpoint, vibes are not great right now. Like, think of the when we got fifth, we just missed out on Champions League. Vibes were good because we went back, right? Mm-hmm. We were back to somewhere good. Then we challenged for the title. Amazing. Then we challenged for the title. And first year back in Champions League, amazing. Despite us going out early. Mm-hmm. Then this year, it was like the same old.
Like, even with that achievement.
Sure, there was a bit of progression in the Champions League, but just so tough. Sorry, like, I don't know why I'm apologizing.
No, you don't have to, bro.
It's just like, it's such a weird.
I was just asking the right questions that I thought.
I have a bone to pick with a certain somebody.
Who's that?
Arsene Wenger needs to shut the fuck up.
Oh no, I love him.
Arsene Wenger needs to shut the fuck up.
What did he say again?
He said, the winner of the Europa League. No, he does not have a point. The winner of the Europa League should qualify automatically for the Europa League and not for the Champions League.
But what?
No, he didn't. He's taking it out of context.
That might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, he's taking it out of context to be a dick.
No, I'm
he
not.
Brought up. He said 15th and 16th. One of them could be in the Champions League next season.
Right.
Do you think the winner of the Europa League should have to go in the Champions League because of how bad the two teams that could be
but
in
that has no to him, but that it has would depend no, on where you finish in the league?
But that has no... That has... Exactly. That's zero relevance winning the European.
It's not a good take, but there
and
is...
Let's, and let's call, and let's call a spade...
That was brought up because of that. He wasn't just saying... Like, it was
and let's
brought
call
up
a spade a spade.
He forgot to mention that his team is 15.
Let's call a spade a spade. If Athletic Bilbao... was in 15th in La Liga, this will not be a conversation. This will not be a conversation. If Athletic Bilbao was about to win the Europa League while 15th in La Liga, this will not be a conversation. The only reason this is a conversation is because Arsene Wenger, specialist in failure, salty looking ass, doesn't want either Spurs or
One
United
of the best Premier League managers
to be,
of all time, but okay.
to be in
Yeah, because he's a fucking
the
Arsenal
Champions League.
Fan.
He is an Arsenal fan.
Best man, take your fucking
best manager. Best manager.
I said
best
one
manager.
Of
he's most known. He's most known for losing to Ferguson and then Mourinho.
Yeah, and it's the only like, team to ever go invincible
like,
in
bro,
the Premier
come
League.
On, he's most known for going invincible. Please,
like, shut the fuck up. Please. Show some goddamn respect. Your stupid fucking suit on. Jesus Christ! All you guys done is piss me off today. So annoying. I'm actually. I'm not saying bye to any of you.
So all right.
I was feeling better too.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. I can tell.
One other point.
Stupid fucking point.
Nicholas Jover. Oh, why are we not showing him when they're defending set pieces, but when they're attacking for set pieces, we're showing him?
Okay.
It's a real question to be asked because I see him every single time getting shown doing his little tactic bullshit on Arsenal set pieces, but when you're defending them, when you're conceding from them, no, let's not cut to him. Let's not show him.
Just
saying.
Okay.
There's been a lack of defending set pieces in Arsenal's team this season.
Hey.
And especially recently.
Hey, guess
against
what?
Bournemouth, against PSG. We're not sure.
Hey,
what's the problem there?
Guess what? You don't have to watch it again this season.
Thank so fuck.
I'm so happy for you.
Actually, I'll watch it against Liverpool again next week.
Sure, you can have fun.
Yeah, I will.
One other thing. quick topic before we move on. Bruno linked with Al Hilal boys. Do you think he really? Should do it? Did you not see it?
That's a stupid question, but Julian. Do you think he should do it? Of course not. Why would he do it? For money? That's the only reason.
He's making $400,000 at United. He's fine.
Yeah, he's good. Like, he's okay.
Al Hilal is rumored to be offering Bruno Fernandes £1 million per week.
We're good.
And they're offering United £120 million.
Okay. Hey, LeBron.
Look, he wants
we're good over here.
He low-key wants him to sell.
If I was United board, I would low-key be tempted.
If you're United board?
If I was the United board.
Bro,
if,
he's been your genuinely, best.
If I'm, bro, no, he has been. No, he's
been your best player this season. And he now you're been. Saying, oh, maybe he should go, actually.
That's why I hate Julian.
No. I would
hate you.
I would be so sad if he left. Mm-hmm. I would be.
Okay.
I would be. Like, I would be.
Clearly.
But, like.
No, you would.
Fuck you. No, we would be relegated if it wasn't for Bruno.
Exactly. You wouldn't be in the Premier League next season if it wasn't.
But you deserve Champions League footy.
Yes, because of Bruno, man. Because of Bruno.
The scenes next season when they go 0-8.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I can't wait to hate watch again. It's been
we're,
so long.
Yeah, we're getting bounced early in the Champions League.
We're so going to be there.
I'm just glad we're... The biggest reason I'm glad we might win the Europa League is just for the financials. And that is because we're in a mess. All right, we're billions in debt. I need some sort of structure, and I need the boat to stop rocking, and I need Jim Ratcliffe to stop fucking yapping about PSR this, PSR that, new stadium this, while we're charging fans, you know, £60 per ticket, and I need a little bit of financial stability. So I think either Garnacho is going to leave in the summer, which I'm not that much against, but if somebody smacked their dick on the table and said, here's £120 million for Bruno. And if we could go, and if we can go, you know, and if we could take that money and go buy, you know, four great young players to actually build out.
He is irreplaceable.
No, absolutely he's irreplaceable. Absolutely irreplaceable. I'm just.
No, there's no, I'm just, he's irreplaceable. You don't touch him.
If we're being smart. Bro.
This is crazy. Sell him then, dude.
Yeah, go for it, bro. We'll be laughing like, over here.
I fucking hate talking about your club because this is what comes out of your mouth.
This is crazy. Like, maybe in this dark time of United, we've forgotten how truly delusional they might actually be.
This is what I'm saying. Oh my god, please. What is this conversation we're having?
Yeah.
If I'm the United board, I am tempted.
Like
by,
we're seriously sat here debating
you
whether
got
or
your
not
clip, like,
Bruno
just,
Fernandes should leave
my
or not.
God.
We are
no,
seriously
I'm
sad
not
here.
Saying. I'm not no, saying. No. I like.
What are you?
I would be so depressed as a fan if Bruno left. I would be.
Yeah.
He's been the only good thing about this club for the past 5 years.
But if I'm the board,
Jesus, Julian,
this is bad.
We're in financial ruin, guys. I don't think you understand.
But he's irreplaceable.
If we could sell
other players,
Bruno allows us to spend.
You can get a good amount of money.
If Bruno allows us to spend $350 million in the window, you know the amount of pieces
and so what is
the talent
that
we could bring in for £350 million?
What does that say about building the team around him for all these years? It just goes out the window.
Yeah,
but he's almost 30.
Matter.
The fact of the matter is, if or when United are good, if this is the path we're on, if this is the path for United to be back to, you know, challenging for Premier Leagues and Champions League, whatever, this is a years long process. And by the time we get to that moment where we're challenging for it, Bruno's going to be too old and he's going to have to move on either way. He's going to have to. By the time we're at that moment, if we get there in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, Bruno is going to be too old to be part of that project, right? He's going to be. He's going to be a good piece to us to bring us from, you know, to bring us back to like a sixth place or an eighth place. But
so sell him, Julian.
Okay, you don't want to intern in this conversation. That's fine.
I don't.
That's fine. Okay,
sell him then. I understand your point. You want to get new players in, then sell him.
If 150 mil is getting straight injected into you know, paying off debt or dividends to the Glazers, then fuck that.
But this is all I'm hearing,
and that matters.
Yeah,
I hate that
matters. I'm not money. This is my violin playing because of your debt talk.
This
again.
Is a violin.
You never seen the world's smallest violin. You never heard seen that before.
Yes, but you do this. It's money. We're talking about him going for 120 million.
This is the violin, the world's smallest violin. It's a thing.
Sorry, which is money? Which is
he did Jesus this? Christ. This is money. This is violin.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah. I see.
But okay. Anyway, like, I don't. Rival fans don't care. I don't feel sympathy for you for putting yourselves in debt.
I know you shouldn't. You're probably happy we're in debt. Genuinely.
So like, sell him if you want. But
I'm just talking about if we're playing the chessboard, then maybe selling Bruno Fernandes wouldn't be the worst move in the world.
Okay. Sure. I'll hear it.
All right.
I probably hate him a lot less.
Yeah. Good pod.
And for Bruno personally, getting £1 million per week from Al-Hilal wouldn't be the worst either. Yeah, tax-free. Tax-free. Anyways. All right, ladies and gentlemen. This has been, would you say, a good or bad episode of the
Secure
Box Podcast? I think it'll be a remembered episode.
Yeah.
We'll say that. Like, I'll listen to this episode every 6 months. To just remember the time.
No, he'll listen to it in 6 months when Arteta proves me wrong. That's what he'll do.
Yeah, I really hope so.
I hope so too, Blake. I'm telling you, I hope so too, bro.
Future Blake listening to this podcast.
Oh yeah, he's feasting.
I hope you're really enjoying life right now. And I think it's a little bit pathetic that you had to wait this long to listen back to this episode personally.
All right. And with that being said,
ladies and gentlemen, listen, man, it's nothing personal.
If you're watching on YouTube, click like, subscribe, leave us 5 stars on Spotify or Apple Music. I'm taking over the outro right now. If you want to know why, because I deserve it for having to go through this fucking shit show today.
So what? I'm saying we out, you're saying see ya? Perfect.
Sure. Thank you so much for watching. And with that being said,
we out.
See ya.